Tape recorded ministry number TL-479. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. In this study, we begin our examination of the first book of the Kings. Open your Bibles to 1 Kings, and we begin with the first verse of the first chapter. Now, this book of 1 Kings, which we're now going to consider, it gives us the record of the death of David and the reign of Solomon. It tells us of the building of the temple, the death of Solomon, and then the division of the kingdom under Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and then the history of the two kingdoms to the reign of Jehoram over Judah and Ahaziah over Samaria. And this book, of course, includes that mighty ministry of the man Elijah. And the period which this book is supposed to cover has been set by Archbishop Usher as being 118 years. That is open to question, as that is simply Usher's chronology. About a period of 118 years we will be covering. Now, we will find many strange things in this book. The reason that they're strange is because that they do not in any way at all accord with our practices, oftentimes not with our moral standards, and especially not with the standards of the New Testament, which of course were revealed 1,000 years later. And we have to remember that the customs of this time are not the customs of our time. The way they lived is not the way that we live. That makes everything entirely different. The Bible will tell a true story, even though it's hard sometimes to understand it. But we come to the first chapter and the first verse, and we read that King David was old and he was stricken in years. The word old here, really he was only about 70, but he was stricken in years. He was really old before his time. And they covered him with clothes, put many garments upon him, but he gat no heat. Wherefore his servants, and the Hebrew word would signify advisers, and this the medical advisers said, let there be sought for the Lord my king a young virgin. The word, the Hebrew word, would mean a young damsel. Let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in his bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coast of Israel, and they found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, and she cherished the king, and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. No marital relationships. So anybody at all is going to try to put a lot of sex in this. This was their custom, and it probably worked at that time. Then we're told that Adonijah, and remember this name because he's going to be of importance as we go on through the book, Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. Now, he was the son of David by Haggith. He exalted himself, saying, I will be king. So he prepared himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Made quite an impression, of course, for these 50 men to always run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man. That his mother bare him after Absalom. The goodly here does not mean righteous or moral or anything like that. It just means that he was a man of fine stature and fine looks, probably with a fine head of hair, and all of those things that go to make a man look imposing and impressive. He was a goodly man, and he was born after Absalom. Now, Adonijah, he conferred with Joab, and Joab says here, we're told that he is the son of Zeruiah, and he also conferred with Abiathar, the priest, and they, following Adonijah, they helped him in his purpose to be king in Israel. But Zadok the priest, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, Shimei and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. They remained loyal to David, and they were simply not with Jonadab, and they had no report at all in his plot to seize the kingdom in Israel. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zohaleth, which is by Enrogel, and called his brethren the king's sons, and all the men of Judah the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah, and the mighty men, and Solomon his brother, he called not. He knew that they would have no part of his plot, and so he called them not. Wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, Hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign? And David our Lord knoweth it not. He was ruling. He had not yet been made the king, but he was ruling. And David knew nothing about this. Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Because it was the cruel custom in that day that when a king came to reign as a rule, he would kill off everyone that was in any way in opposition to him. Of course, this was Bathsheba was not his mother. Haggith was his mother, and so her life would be in danger. And he says, let me give you counsel that you may save your own life and the life of your son Solomon. Now go and get thee in unto King David, and say unto him, Didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thine handmaid, saying, Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and shall sit upon my throne. Why then doth Adonijah reign? Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee, and confirm thy words. To impress this fact upon this aged king, he would come in and confirm thy words. Truth would be confirmed in the mouth of two witnesses here. And Bathsheba went in unto the king into the chamber, and the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite ministered unto the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king. And the king said, What wouldest thou? What is it that you wish? And she said, My lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God, that's Jehovah thy Elohim, unto thy handmaid, saying, Assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And now, behold, Adonijah reigneth. And now, my lord the king, thou knowest it not. And he has slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance. He's called all the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the host. But Solomon thy servant hath he not called. And thou, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. For remember that this throne began with David, and this is the Davidic family, and of course the throne was to be inherited, but by whom would have to come from the lips of David. Otherwise it shall come to pass when my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers, a very nice description, that when he shall be dead, sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. That's what will happen. And lo, while she yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. And they told the king, saying, Behold, Nathan the prophet, When he was come in before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, My lord, O king, hast thou said Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon the throne? Did you say that? For he has gone down this day and has slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and he's called all the king's sons and the captains of the hosts and Abiathar of the priests. And behold, they eat and drink before him and say, God save King Adonijah. So he has actually set up himself as king, even though David is not dead. But me, even me, thy servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and thy servant Solomon, he had not called. We were not even invited. If this thing done by my lord the king, and thou hast not showed it unto thy servant, who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? Then King David answered and said, Call me Bathsheba. She came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king sware and said, As the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth, did reverence the king, and said, Let my lord, King David, live forever. The word forever here is the word olam. I have told you that this always has reference to perpetuity and perpetually, but it also has other uses. This word olam became the name of the days when everything upon this earth would be regulated and established by the outflowings of God. And because it was all related to the outflowings of God, it was called the Olam, or the outflow, the days of the outflow. And of course, it was the hope of every Israelite to be alive and upon the earth in the day when God governed. As Balaam asked the question, Alas, who shall live and see these things? The day when God governs the earth, that wonderful day, when judgment and righteousness and mercy shall flow down, when healing and health shall be the portion of men, the Olam. The Greeks, when the New Testament was translated, they used the word aion, A-I-O-N. And this word, which we just simply say aion, this word was used in place of the word olam. And so what she is actually saying here, let my lord, the King David, live in that time when God flows out in life, in truth, in health, in joy. May he live in respect to the Olam. King David said, Call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. The king also said unto them, Take with you the servants of your lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel, and blow ye with the trumpet, and say, God save King Solomon. Then ye shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead, and I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. And Benaniah the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, Amen. The Lord God of my Lord, the king, say so too. And the Lord hath been, as the Lord hath been with my Lord the king, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. So Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, And the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down, caused Solomon to ride upon David's mule, and brought him to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle. This would probably be out of David's tabernacle, and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. Preserve and bless King Solomon is the meaning of the word save here. And all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes, and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. Now Adonijah and all the guests with him heard it, as they made an end of eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, Wherefore is this noise of the city being in an uproar? And while he yet spake, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiath, the priest. This was David's faithful servant, as we saw back in 1 Samuel. He was the son of Abiath, the priest, came. And Adonijah said unto him, Come in, for thou art a valiant man, and you bring good tidings. And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, Verily our lord David hath made Solomon king, and the king has sent with him Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites, the Pelethites, and they have caused him to ride upon the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon, and they are come up from thence rejoicing, so that the city rang again. This is the noise that you have heard. And also Solomon sitteth on the throne of the kingdom. And moreover, the king's servants came to bless our lord, King David, saying, God make the name of Solomon better than thy name, and his throne greater than your throne. And the king bowed himself upon the bed. And also thus said the king, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which hath given one to sit on my throne this day, mine eyes even seeing it. And all the guests with Adonijah were afraid, and they rose up and went every man his way. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon, and he arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. This was a custom in Israel, as we know from the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy. Now I was told Solomon, saying, Behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me this day that he will not slay his servant with the sword. This usurper was really had cause to fear. But Solomon said, If he will show himself to be a worthy man, there shall not an hair of him fall to the earth, but if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar. And he came, and he bowed himself to King Solomon. And Solomon said to him, You go to your house. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. That's the way the scripture says it. Not that he should go to heaven, but the days of David drew nigh that he should die. It was time for him to die. Well, it's appointed unto men once to die, and time has come for David to die. He charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. The term for I go into the state of death, the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, in whatever direction you may go. That the Lord may continue his word which he spoke concerning me. If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, you know also what Joab the son of Zeruiah did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and unto Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew, and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, but let not his hoar head, hoar means gray or white head, go down to Sheol in peace. Sheol is the state of death, and let his death be a violent one. Let him not go down in peace. But you show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be those that eat at my table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother. And behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day that I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore hold him not guiltless, for you are a wise man, and you know what you oughtest to do to him. But his white head bring thou down to the grave, to Sheol. That's the word, the state of death, bring it down with blood. Now we're told that David slept with his fathers. Now this is a term which is used of men who are good and men who are bad. It's just a description of death. For bad men are in the state of Sheol, and good men are in the state of Sheol. We have no word in English that will translate this word. Sheol, the state of death. Through all the centuries, men who just do not believe that there is any such thing as a state of death, they don't believe anyone ever dies. They're always alive, either in hell or in heaven. They never felt the need of finding a word for it. But if I had to find a word, I would go to the Greek, and out of the Greek, I would take the word thanatos, which means death, thanatos. And before this, I would put such a term that it would describe the state of death. If there was any way to add to this with resurrection in view, for all are going to rise sometime or other. For everyone that goes into the state of death, there is one coming out. And some will come out to condemnation, another will come out to aeonian life. But they are all coming forth. And so I would take this word thanatos, and I would work out of it some English word that, because we use thanatos, you know, in English. You probably have read the book Thanatopsis, the poetic work. And but this is the state of death with resurrection in view. So I would take the word thanatos, add the suffix U-D-E to it, and just make it thanatude. Thanatude, T-H-A-N-A-T-U-D-E. That would be the English word that I would use if I wanted to set forth the word Sheol, the truth of what it means. You see, just like solitude is the state of being alone, and plentitude is the state of having plenty, the U-D-E always means a state, and since thanatos means death, we could just say thanatude, and that's the state of death as a translation of Sheol. But I prefer just to use the Hebrew word and know what the Hebrew word means. So bring his white head down to the grave. So David slept with his fathers. He was buried in the city of David. Now, it was David that slept with his fathers. It was David that was buried. You say it was only David's body. Well, where did his soul go? You know, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Peter states very plainly, David is not ascended into heaven. Not in the least. No. So he was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Hebron, and 33 years he reigned in Jerusalem. easy numbers to remember, 40 being the period of years Israel spent in the wilderness, 40 being the number of days that the Lord Jesus Christ fasted, and many things have 40. So David reigned over Israel 40 years. 7, that number of completion is easy to remember. 7 years he reigned, that is, he governed in Hebron. And 33 years, easy to remember. That's the length of a life of our Lord. And 33 years he reigned in Jerusalem. So then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom, that is the government, was established greatly. Now some governments are very shaky, apt to fall at any time, but his government was established greatly. Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and said, and she said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably. He said, moreover, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And she said, say on. And he said, you know that the kingdom was mine. That's the way he starts. You know that the kingdom was mine, that all Israel set their faces on me. Now he's not telling the truth there, because all Israel did not set their faces on him, that I should reign. Albeit the kingdom is turned about, and it is become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. Now he acknowledges this. It was his from the Lord. And now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not. And she said unto him, say on. And he said, speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say to thee nay, that he give me Abishag, the Shunammite, to wife. And Bathsheba said, well, I will speak for thee unto the king. Bathsheba therefore went into King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her, and bowed himself down unto her. And he sat down on his throne, and caused that a seat should be set for his mother, and she sat on his right hand. Then she said, I desire one small petition of thee. I pray thee, say me not nay. And the king said unto her, ask on, my mother, for I will not say unto thee nay. And she said, let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah thy brother to wife. And King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, and why dost thou ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is mine elder brother, even for him, and ask for Abiathar the priest, Joab the son of Zeruiah. And through all of this, Solomon was able to discern, because of divine wisdom, which was ever his portion, he was able to discern that this was a plot in some way to steal the kingdom. And this is the small start. Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, God do so to me and more also, if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me, and set me on the throne of David, my father, who hath made me an house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be set to death this day. King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him that he died. That seems like harsh treatment, but that is the way that it took place in Israel, and thus the anyone at all that even thought to challenge the throne of Solomon might be put to death in the same way. Well, we go right on here now to verse 26. And unto Abiathar the priest said the king, get thee to Anathoth, unto thine own fields, for thou art worthy of death. But I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David my father, and because thou hast been afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted. So Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord, which he spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. Well, then tidings came to Joab, for Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom. And Joab fled into the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold on the horns of the older. And it was told King Solomon that Joab had fled into the tabernacle of the Lord, and behold, he is by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, saying, Go fall upon him. And Benaiah came to the tabernacle of the Lord, and said unto him, Thus saith the king, Come forth. And he said, Nay, but I will die here. And Benaiah brought the king word again, saying, Thus said Joab, and thus he answered me. And the king said unto him, Do as he has said, and fall upon him, and bury him, that thou may take away the innocent blood which Joab shed from me and from the house of my father. And the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and slew them with the sword of my father David, not knowing thereof, to wit, Abner the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah. Their blood shall therefore return upon the head of Joab, and upon the seed of his seed forever, in perpetuity it will be upon him, and upon David, but upon David, and upon his seed, and upon his house, and upon his throne, there shall be peace ever flowing from the Lord, perpetually. So Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, went up, fell upon him, and slew him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. And the king put Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, in his room over the host. And Zadok the priest did, the king put in the room of Abiathar. And the king sent and called for Shimei, and said unto him, Build thee a house in Jerusalem, and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither. For it shall be that on the day that thou goest out, and you pass over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die, thy blood shall be upon thine own head. And Shimei said unto the king, The saying is good. As my lord the king has said, so will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. Now it came to pass, at the end of 3 years, that two of the servants of Shimei ran away unto Achish, son of Maacah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, Behold, thy servants be in Gath. And Shimei arose, and saddled his ass, and went to Gath to Achish, and to seek his servants. And Shimei went, and brought his servants from Gath. And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath, and he was come again. And the king sent and called for Shimei, and said unto him, Did I not make thee to swear by the Lord, and protested unto thee, saying, Know for a certain, on the day thou goest out and walkest abroad any whither, that thou shalt surely die? And thou said unto me, The word that I have heard is good. Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord, and the commandment that I have charged thee with? The king said moreover to Shimei, Thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to. That thou saidst to David my father, Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord in perpetuity, ever flowing. The seat of his government shall be established in perpetuity. So the king commanded Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, that he died. So the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. Now, we yet have a little time. Let's look into the third chapter. Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David, until he had made an end of building his own house, and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about him. Only the people sacrificed in the high places, because there was no house built in the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. And in Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and he said, "Ask what I will give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, not to punish, to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and you have not asked for yourself long life, neither have you asked riches for yourself, nor asked the life of your enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise unto thee. I have also given thee that for which thou wast not asked. I have given thee riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like thee in all thy days. And if you will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all of his servants. Now, that's, I guess, the place to make a break. We'll see a sample of this wisdom that God gave to Solomon. Get an understanding of how it worked and as to how it operated. The early part of the Book of Kings is, of course, interesting. But let me tell you, as we go on and we get to the place where the temple is built and all that took place, then the things that begin to happen, such things as the visit of the Queen of Sheba. We learn so much from these things. So I look forward to expounding this book. And it's been my joy to go over these almost three chapters with you. I've rather hurried along. But nevertheless, I thank you for listening to me. It has been my joy to go through this book with you. And until we meet again around the pages of God's book, I bid you goodbye, and I pray that your lines may fall in pleasant places, as the 16th Psalm and the 6th verse tells us. So I bid you goodbye.